Bros.
Football.
Bros.
Touchdown!
Hello, it's football season.
Fantasy football.
Give me a hell yeah!
This is fantasy.
Can the white guys use the term fan?
Hey, Monday Night Football. You were not the final game of week number 12. A Wednesday game, we think, looms. I am Keith Irizarry, Alex Hardy, John Salas, my fam is here. What's up, fellas?
Keith Irizarry, thrilled to be with you. I was robbed of an extra game on Thanksgiving, but I guess we're having turkey sandwiches for up to a week now. Maybe we play Wednesday, maybe not. In the meantime, I got to say, what's going on, John Salas?
It's going good. Waddled my way over here after a Thanksgiving feast. And you know what's funny is that, you know, Thanksgiving happens once a year, but I feel more comfort eating turkey the rest of the year than Carson Wentz has comfort knowing he's probably going to be the starting quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles going forward. That was horrible on Monday night.
Yeah, here's something that we've learned, and maybe we should have learned this a few weeks ago. Carson Wentz is not rosterable. Carson Wentz should not be anywhere near your fantasy teams, but DK Metcalf is making a case to be one of the two or three best wide receivers in the NFL. 10 catches, 177 yards, and this just came, you know, a day after Tyreek Hill blew up the world.
We'll get to Tyreek Hill, but with those Seahawks wide receivers, we've seen weeks where it's DK Metcalf against the Eagles last night, 10 catches, 177 yards. We had a near touchdown that went between his hands also. Other weeks, it's just Tyler Lockett. He has the 200-yard, three-touchdown performance. And some weeks, both guys get to eat. So as long as you have one of the Seahawks pass catchers down the stretch, we like what the Seahawks have moving forward. But I want to take one more moment to discuss the Eagles' offense. I mean, clearly Carson Wentz leading the league in turnovers has issues all over the roster. But ultimately, when it comes to fantasy production, you know, we've seen guys like Travis Fulgham and Zach Ertz and their fantasy stock rise and disappear. So moving forward, Miles Sanders having 8 touches is probably a bigger concern because, like you said, Carson Wentz is completely off my radar.
Well, I'm glad you brought up Travis Fulgham, and we got to talk about him real quick. The rise, the number one we all thought, everyone gets healthy over the past three. He's only had 14 targets and 4 catches. Now, is Travis Fulgham finally entered droppable territory,
yes,
or are we hanging on to him?
He's gone. Everything is trending towards the Eagles offense just not being fantasy startable. So why hold on to them on your roster?
Yeah, Travis Fulgham hasn't even had more than 2 catches in a week since week number 8. He's been in single digits for fantasy points all of those weeks. And while, yes, Travis Fulgham was a nice story for the Eagles early on, Alex hit it perfectly there with Alshon Jeffrey and the rest of that offense stepping in. And honestly, just the offense is bad in general.
Now, my guy was Dallas Goedert. He had the garbage time touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
Is he on your roster? I think I may have him because of how thin the tight end position is.
Yeah, 100% because of the tight end position. You can still roster him. You're still rostering Miles Sanders, obviously, by the way. You're just only starting him if you absolutely have to. Otherwise, he's become a bench guy.
I blew it. We spent too much time on this terrible Eagles team.
Hold on, because there's one more guy I unfortunately got to throw out there for the Philadelphia Eagles.
Why?
Are we talking Richard Rodgers as a the man's had 2 touchdowns in the past 2 games. I'm taking touchdown volume here.
Do you plan on Richard Rodgers catching touchdowns on passes that aren't intended to be thrown to him every single week, John?
No, absolutely not.
And do you plan on this Eagles offense running like the Taysom Hill Saints offense when Jalen Hurts takes over? Oh, all right. Let's
They're not going to be throwing the ball 50 times much longer.
Exactly. So we will have some Wednesday night football. At least we think Ravens Steelers going to move to Wednesday, a 3:40 p.m. Eastern kickoff because NBC has the tree lighting at Rockefeller Center. That is a national event. They do not want to miss that. Here's some information, though, about this game because J.K. Dobbins and Mark Ingram are now actually eligible to play as long as they're asymptomatic. By Wednesday, they will play Wednesday afternoon. Lamar Jackson will not. RG3 is going to be the quarterback.
Are we expecting bad weather, last I heard? Because remember, Dobbins and Ingram aren't allowed to get there until game day. So if for some reason, if you're still banking on this game, I mean, assuming you don't have J.K. Dobbins or Mark Ingram because you already knew they were gone. But if for some reason you do, you're really rolling the dice here because last I heard, it's supposed to be snow. And if they have to travel there on game day and if they can't get there on time, especially for a 3:40 afternoon game, I don't know. I think I stay away from those two guys.
It is snowing in Pittsburgh right now. Tomorrow is supposed to be at least clear, but there may be there still may be 2 to 3 inches of snow on the ground. But you know, without Lamar Jackson, now knowing they could have three healthy running backs, the Ravens were going to be running the football primarily. Gus Edwards, who you might have been holding on to as the only healthy Ravens running back, automatically goes to your bench if the Ravens have their committee available. And if you stash J.K. Dobbins, I am wary playing him. John talked about the same-day travel makes things a lot more difficult for him. And clearly, we don't know the repercussions of contracting COVID-19 and how that affects him as a elite NFL athlete. So I'm cooling off on the Ravens' weapons, especially those that are coming back from COVID, but Gus Edwards as well. If we have bad weather on top of the uncertainty around a Wednesday game played at 3:40 in the afternoon, there's just too many other factors that make me hold off on my Ravens and my Steelers wide receivers as well.
I think this one is more about looking at the DFS standpoint. From a DFS standpoint, I'm cool on all of the Baltimore Ravens. Not really going to put many of them in a in-game lineup. Going to go very heavy Pittsburgh Steelers. Benny Snell might be my dude. In the captain chair is going to end up being Ben Roethlisberger. I just think that he is fantasy-proof this year. Let's go to Kansas City. Tyreek Hill lit it up. 57.9 PPR points. Patrick Mahomes was on fire as well. And oh, by the way, both of those performances almost overshadowed what Derrick Henry did in the first half and in totality in that game, 178 rushing yards and 3 touchdowns.
Well, it's one thing because Tyreek Hill entered week 12, 10th in the NFL in receiving, and finished first in the NFL in receiving. That type of jump obviously grabs our attention. But what did I text you guys Sunday morning before kickoff? I said Derrick Henry could probably rush for 200 yards given the injuries the Colts had on their defensive line and DeForest Buckner having COVID-19. I was wrong. It wasn't 200 rushing yards, but I'll take 178 and 3 TDs.
You also texted us good morning and have a great day. But anyway, I digress.
And Derrick Henry scares me. If you are in the playoffs and if you're in that last week, he's got Cleveland, Jacksonville, Detroit, Green Bay, 3 straight games with over 100 rushing yards. And if they start using that swing pass and get him utilized in the pass game, who can stop Derrick Henry running at you full speed? Not me, that's for sure.
Keep running through your headlines of the week. Antonio Gibson has maybe put himself in the RB1 territory. Taysom Hill came back to earth, but from a fantasy standpoint was still serviceable. Your boy, John, Derek Carr, he stunk up the joint. And we got to say bye-bye to Will Fuller, PEDs, 6-game suspension.
Yeah, you kind of forget that players can miss games for reasons other than COVID in 2020.
I guess we're taking jabs here. That it just kind of explains why Will Fuller has been healthy this year, right? Like he's always out with injury.
Yikes.
Explains it.
Oh,
yikes.
No.
Yikes. Yikes.
A quick moment on the Raiders. I was cool on Derek Carr coming into this matchup with the Falcons because I thought in plus matchups, the Raiders would be running the football. It turns out the Raiders offense just completely laid an egg. They do have the Jets coming up, though. This is a game that they lost in New Jersey last year. I don't know if you go back to the well with the Raiders, even with a plus matchup for the Jets. Anybody outside of Josh Jacobs and Darren Waller starting in your fantasy lineups with that plus Jets matchup?
Probably not. I want to double back to Antonio Gibson, who has been in double digits every week since week 7, 20, 11, 20, almost 17, 36. But I look forward to the rest of this. And you've got Pittsburgh in week 13 in that delayed game. San Francisco in week 14. Don't love that. But I have an eye on week 15 and 16. If you are in your semifinals and your championship, you've got Seattle and Carolina. I like both of those matchups. John Justin Jefferson continues to be a dominant wide receiver, top 15 scorer per week as a wide receiver. And then, Alex, how about Austin Eckler back? Welcome back. You look good.
Hey, you forgot my guy Josh Kelly got that rushing TD from the 1 yard line as well.
Oh, true. Oh, true.
No, Austin Eckler is a huge addition for the Chargers offense. It'll be interesting to see how much Justin Herbert gets to utilize in the pass game. We're hoping that given he had 11 catches, Keenan Allen still gets to eat as well.
Keith, you threw out Justin Jefferson. Yes, he didn't have Adam Thielen last week, unfortunately, due to his COVID debacle, what was going on with him. But he's a top 15 scorer per week as a wide receiver. And I think as a Justin Jefferson owner myself, I've kind of been a game plan guy. But now I think with Kirk Cousins kind of throwing the ball pretty decent these past two games, I think he slides in there now as a flex play.
All right, last one before we move to my stat of the week. Wayne Gallman has been playing like an RB1. The Giants are winning games. Are we excited about Wayne Gallman? Yeah, first place in the NFC least. Yeah.
I love Wayne Gallman here in the last five games, 78 carries, 11 catches, 344 yards, and six touchdowns. He's scored in every game since he's taken over. Now, Devontae Freeman is supposed to come back, but I don't think that worries me. I kind of think he's entered that RB1, maybe flex territory, depending what the COVID situations. You never know. Thoughts?
I don't love the New York Giants offense going forward with Colt McCoy. It scares me about Wayne Gallman and Freeman coming back. I guess that'll, you know, at least rip into his carries a little bit.
Do I want to spend the rest of my fantasy season watching Colt McCoy and the Giants? No.
I'm with you. Keith's stat of the week, Kiki QT, played 50% of the snaps in week 12, ran 20 routes on 35 dropbacks, and the Texans throw the ball a lot. Eighth highest percentage of pass plays in the NFL, and Will Fuller is gone. I've got a bonus stat for you guys, courtesy of our buddies over at FTN. John, you'll like this one. Cam Akers has averaged 3.34 yards after contact per attempt through week 12. That ranks him as RB10. Wow.
And with a struggling Daryl Henderson, Cam Akers is getting hot. So if you held on to him, this is going to be the perfect time to start firing him up with the playoffs, baby.
Knowing that the playoffs are right around the corner, there are a lot of big names that are probably on your rosters that are injured right now. Let me run through them. Josh Jacobs, ankle injury. Has a chance to play against the Jets, but listed as questionable. Dalvin Cook should be fine to play, but also dealing with an ankle injury. DeAndre Swift, concussion. Julio Jones, hamstring. Daniel Jones, hamstring. And Tua Tagovailoa still has that thumb issue.
All right, Keith. So these injuries and the waiver situation is pretty intriguing this week. With Ravens and Steelers supposed to play on Wednesday, that means waivers are going to go through Wednesday night, Thursday morning, or Thursday night into Friday morning, depending on how your league is set up. But I'm pretty sure it's Wednesday night into Thursday. Now, normally, we're sitting here on a Tuesday before the first full day of practice, and we get a first sense of how injury players are looking. Now, we get to sit here on Wednesday and know Wednesday night what a Josh Jacobs ankle situation could look like, what a Dalvin Cook situation is going to look like, what DeAndre Swift, Julio Jones, everyone you just mentioned. And then that leads into waiver wire, guys. Am I going to get a Devontae Booker for Josh Jacobs? Am I going to go pick up one of the Falcons wide receivers of Julio Jones? Am I going to gamble on AP or Kerryon Johnson because DeAndre Swift is out? I think we have more clarity with all these guys and kind of our waiver situations this week than we ever had. And I think this is a blessing, especially knowing this is last week of the season for most leagues and or first week of the playoffs. And this is really going to benefit teams here.
As a Josh Jacobs owner, the extra day is great, but I'll note that Julio's hamstring is the one I'm really tracking. If Julio isn't available for the Falcons, Calvin Ridley could be a top five wide receiver for me in week 13.
Love me some Calvin Ridley, your waiver wire. And I know John's excited about this. I look at it as it's kind of lean this week. Devontae Booker, 10% rostered. He could be a factor if Josh Jacobs doesn't play. Week 9 and 10 had over 12 points and over 20 points. Just mentioned Cam Akers. You have Logan Thomas, 41% rostered. This jumped out to me. The tight end has four targets or more in every game this season. Kiki QT, mentioned him, only 2% rostered. And Gabriel Davis at 3% rostered.
Gabriel Davis, I'm just going to jump in here real quick. I think I'm going to stay away from him. I think he's still very low on my priority list. With John Brown out for two more weeks at least, this is just more time for Cole Beasley to shine and then Tyler Kroft to get more looks. So I don't know. I need to see more consistency. I think with the thin names that we have here, I think there's more value in a Kiki Kuti, Logan Thomas, Cam Akers, or Devontae Booker than a Gabriel Davis, at least for now.
Yeah, Devontae Booker, I'm going to add just for my Josh Jacobs insurance. Really, really down on Derek Carr, and I still think that a Raiders game script against the Jets means they run the football more than they forced Derek Carr to make plays for them. He just could not do that against Atlanta.
I'm so with you on this one. I would spend a fair amount of my fab on Devontae Booker, knowing that we're gearing up for the playoffs, and especially if I'm in a situation where I need a win to make the playoffs, Devontae Booker just may be that guy to get me over the hump. Other names that could potentially be available, Deebo Samuel. I know, John, you checked this out, 56% available on Yahoo. You got Robert Tonyan, 61% on Yahoo. And Latavius Murray, still available 60% of the time in Yahoo.
If he's there, I'd take Deebo in a heartbeat.
I want to throw a curveball here. He's 60% rostered. Jamal Williams, 17 rushing attempts this past game, 5 the last week, and 8 2 weeks ago. If he's still there, I think he's a guy you may have to stash and just take a gamble on knowing, hey, unless you know you had a Jonathan Taylor, James Conner, and you need to throw him in there for points like what happened last week with them being out due to COVID. But if he's still sitting there, I don't know. I think he could be a good sneak play, especially with the Packers maybe blowing some teams out.
My name is Alex Hardy, and I'd like to admit a problem. I dropped Jamal Williams from my roster for Kendall Hinton. Thanks, guys. It feels good to be honest with you.
Yeah, that was bad because John hits it pretty well there too, because you got Philly, Detroit, Carolina, and then Tennessee in week 16. Don't love that matchup. But there's the potential of the Packers beating Philly pretty badly, beating Detroit pretty badly, and beating Carolina potentially pretty badly as well. Remember, everybody, download the Fantasy Football Podcast. We're available in the iTunes Store, Spotify, wherever else you get your podcasts. Our next episode will be hot off the presses, even though we're on radio, coming up later this week. Oh, and shout out Kendall Hinton. You just mentioned him. One completion, but he gave it his all.
And here he is, having the time of his life.
Shout out.
My favorite was getting the notification. John Salas has added Kendall Hinton, and I go, who is this? Whose man is this?
Shout out to everyone who maybe gambled with him. He was wide receiver eligible in Yahoo League, so you could have maybe got 1 point, maybe negative. I don't know what
it was. It was a negative.
You failed from a fantasy standpoint, but you rooted on a very nice guy who gave a valiant effort.
It just goes to show you that if we think that we can play in an NFL game, I mean, the guy hasn't thrown a football since he was in college, but still played quarterback at the collegiate level. Guys, we'd be doomed. We'd be absolutely doomed.
I am Keith Irizarry. That's Alex Hardy, John Salas.
Congrats, Mike Glennon.